Good morning. Today is Thursday, September the 10th. Joining us this morning is Humboldt County District Attorney Maggie Fleming.
Good morning. Good morning, Brian. How are you?
Well, I'm moving into a new decade today.
Oh, my gosh. Really? Congrats. Happy birthday.
Yeah. We'll just kind of leave it up for speculation which one, but it's pretty evident.
Hey, Brian, are you hitting the big 5-0?
Oh, yeah. Thanks for that credit. Oh, let's see. Since I've been doing this show for 38 years, I don't think I started when I was 12. And like I said, that's about as close as we need to get about anything today. There's enough other stuff going on out there with the smoke and the fire and all the goofies going on. So, Winston, why don't you hit us with why do we say it, and we can start down that road.
All right.
And I forgot to find the Elvis rendition of Happy Birthday. Oh, well, maybe for next year. And speaking of birthdays, where do we get the expression, that takes the cake?
That kind of sounds like it's a criminal-related event, Maggie.
I guess the idea is that whoever, I think of cakewalks, you know, and so the idea is if you win, you take the cake. So maybe it's like if you have a winning comment or the right comment, you take the cake.
That sounds logical enough to be accurate, Winston.
Yeah, pretty close.
Ooh.
From the competitive cakewalks. The dance originated in the South and got its name from the fact that at barbecues, picnics, and box suppers, a strutting contest was held among the men. The man who cut the best capers in strutting his stuff was given his choice of cakes, and along with the cake went the girl who baked it as partner for the meal.
Oh, that kind of sounds like Oklahoma with the pie auction? Is that the one?
Never seen Oklahoma.
Got everything all fired up there? Judd? Yeah. See, Maggie, you can really never prepare for this show, can you?
No, you cannot. And you know, Brian, when I ask people to do it, you know, if I'm in court or something, I say, hey, can you cover this? They always say, can you describe it for me? And I said, no.
Yeah. That would give away all the magic.
That's right. That's
yeah,
right.
Whatever magic there may be. Oh, boy. So other than the surreal nature of what we've been dealing with this week, do any of the... any of these crimes of opportunity, are they starting to kind of show up on your desk during this whole shelter in place and some of the different challenges associated with that?
Well, we've definitely seen a rise in not so much crimes of opportunity, but more assaults. We're just seeing people are, you know, I just think everybody's sort of at the end of their rope. And so we're seeing far too many. I was talking with some of the correctional deputies yesterday, and they were saying they saw a definite rise in domestic violence at the jail. And I said, oh, absolutely. We've seen that go very steeply up, as well as the level of violence has gone very steeply up. So just more incidents of, you know, neighbors having disputes with each other and road rage type situations. It's really sad.
Yes, Steve Watson was in earlier this week on Monday and said that there was that initial spike, but then last couple of months it's kind of leveled back down to kind of the normal range, whatever normal might have, or the historical numbers. How's that instead of normal?
Right. Are you talking about the crimes of opportunity then?
Yeah, he was saying that, and just kind of across the board that things have kind of settled back and people are trying to, however they are, figuring how to work through this. But when you said road rage, I'm thinking, okay, we're in Humboldt County.
Right.
We don't have these goofy congestion moments like so many other communities throughout the West Coast do.
Right.
Road rage to me is kind of, maybe it's situational, but it's kind of intriguing that it would even enter anybody's mind here unless somebody feels like they were cut off or something goofy like that.
It's as simple as if the person who's behind another car believes the car in front is going too slow. They will, you know, try to pull around them, and then there's sometimes an incident. And it's just interesting because you always think if you could just sort of, you know, take a breath, none of this would have happened. None of this would then occur. And people are incapable of that. We see it over and over. So it really isn't a matter of, you know, traffic congestion. It's one person's perception of how things should be going or that they've been slighted somehow.
Kind of personal inconvenience.
Right.
Yeah. I know, you know, well, you know where we are out here getting on to Myrtle. Yeah. You know, I can tell there are people sometimes instead of 35, they're coming through at 50. And if you get out in front of them and go the normal speed, you kind of get the funny eye. And it's like, really? Right. Come on. But I, you know, maybe I just don't get offended easily. I don't know.
Right.
Yeah. Oh. So with the fires and some of the activity that's going on with the folks in the southern part of the county and the eastern part of the county, I would suspect that is putting a significant impact on you guys and gals just trying to do the day to day now. If people aren't available to get here or can't get here, or they've been displaced, is that throwing a clinker into the machine for you?
We're already seeing some of it, and obviously it's going to be much more significant, you know, as the days go on. We did get some. I know at least one call yesterday, you know, from an attorney whose client is in Southern Humboldt, who was supposed to report to turn themselves into the jail and simply, you know, couldn't get here. And that's completely understandable. But we're going to be seeing it. What I have to say I'm so impressed by is jurors are showing up, you know. So in spite of everything that's going on, we have again this week people who are being, you know, questioned to serve on another jury. And we had one that completed last week, and it's just, I think, such a good example of people's willingness to participate, you know, and serve the community that they would show up in times like these.
Yeah, it's everything is kind of goofy, I suspect. Do the folks coming in from out of the area, your experts, so to speak, are they able to do the Zoom stuff? Is that evolved, or do they still have to try to get physically here?
So we are asking the defense attorneys and then asking the court to allow us via Zoom. Right now, so far, we've been very lucky and everyone has agreed to it. We've had a couple of situations come up in the next couple of weeks, trials that are set, where the defense is saying, no, they're not going to stipulate. And that is going to be a problem because particularly with psychiatrists who work at, for example, Napa State Hospital, they're very reluctant to leave the hospital because of their obligation and their responsibility to all the patients.
And we'll talk about that when we come back. It's 8:19.
Okay.
Listen to 980 AM for the best music. ABBA, Neil Diamond, Barbra Streisand, Billy Joel, and The Fifth Dimension. The all-time best are heard every day, all day long on 980 AM. We are easy radio. Easy on your ears and easy on your mind. This is memory-making music, and you'll love the memories you create. Tune in and hear the best music. Easy radio, 980 AM.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:24. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Maggie, before the break, we were talking about trying to get some of the experts up here and some of the impacts of the fire and the various challenges that are going on. And you'd mentioned that Zoom isn't totally accepted yet, and that when you have to bring in the trained mental experts out of Napa, that it's problematic. I would think that pressures like that make it really pretty evident that we're going to have to make some changes here and what the courts accept is normal protocol.
That's correct. And frankly, I think it's to the court's best interest to allow Zoom because just like the experts, the doctors, don't want to switch counties and potentially bring COVID back to the hospital, we also, you know, you sometimes don't know for days if someone's carrying it. We don't want them coming into our courtroom and potentially, you know, exposing all of us to it. And, you know, Brian, on top of COVID, we're talking about fires. fires are impacting us as well. Same reasons, you know, the travel limitations, the concerns people have about trying, you know, even if they can get here with the fires quickly moving, they're afraid they can't get home. And now we're seeing it as well, you know, with our law enforcement witnesses, because obviously many in the sheriff's department have to respond to Southern Humboldt to deal with what's going on there. So it's that sort of point in time where we were just starting to kind of get back into a little bit of a routine with the courts, and now everything's going to change again. So it's a slow, steady process, but it's very, very slow right now.
Will it allow, do you think, like a rubber band, a return to where you were a week and a half or 2 weeks ago much quicker, so that the retooling or rethinking process time is maybe be eliminated and be able to get back into that near normal staging quicker?
I don't know that it's going to be quicker, and part of it is just the reality of every day you don't have cases being called, trials getting out, impacts like a snowball, you know? So now we've been 6 months of not normal court. So we have all of that already pending, and we keep adding every day. I mean, we're here every day, and new cases are coming in. We haven't seen that slow down. So we're adding more and more into a system that is already half a year behind. So it's going to be, you know, I don't know when we're going to get back to a real normal schedule, but we're going to, you know, keep trying.
Is there any way to use the federal building out by the airport to expand the capacity and kind of get through this?
Exactly. I suggested that too. Evidently, there's some sort of rule that the court executive officer told me that. But what I've suggested now is, what about Vets Hall? Because, you know, they just remodeled it. I haven't been inside, but the outside looks amazing. We used to have court there. Back when we were retrofitting this building, you know, which went on for years, I think I probably went out to the Vets Hall for court 2 or 3 days a week, and you would just box everything up. You'd tell your witnesses to meet you there. And there's that one long room that would be perfect, because we used it back in the day, and, you know, the judge and his staff sat at the front on a little bit of an elevated platform. And the idea is, particularly now with COVID, there's so much room for people to sit that as long as everybody was microphoned, I think that would be the ideal place. So I've suggested that now to suggest maybe this is where we could start running potentially trials, but certainly hearings. And, you know, obviously it's a little more work for everyone, a little more work for the sheriff, because court security is through his department. But I think it would be well worth it. And then we could start running multiple cases, because right now we're limited to one trial because of the need to have all our jurors spread out. And so really we're taking up almost two courtrooms to do one case. And that's again, you know, going to really slow down the process, because we can sometimes run two or three trials simultaneously. Well, we're not able to do that now.
One at a time? Wow.
One at a time, yeah.
I would think that the courts would be looking for and seeking opportunities, and they would be the ones coming to you and the public defender and the sheriff to say, hey, can we use this building? How do we do this so we can get through this backlog instead of having it back up and back up and back up and back up even more?
Right.
Not the case, huh?
No, we'll keep trying to move this forward. You know, sometimes you just gotta keep pushing on the bus to try to get it to go.
Yeah. Understood. Oh, what are you hearing from your compadres in the neighborhood? Are they experiencing comparable situations and challenges?
Oh, yeah. So many places are even, you know, having a harder time because of their fires. It's really, you think about some of these places that have had fires, you know, 2017, and now it's happening again. And it's, you know, and then for a lot of the rural counties, it's that concern of what do you do with your animals? Because I know a lot of people, you know, part of why they love where they live is they are able to have horses and their cows aren't right there.
Yeah, yeah, that makes it another layer of fun. KINS, yeah. News and Information Time, it's 8:30.
Hi, my name is Keith Lund. I am an electrician for Owsley Electric. You can go into a trade, be 18, become a trainee. They do require some education. You have 120 hours of classroom education, plus you have to work 2,000 hours a year. So after 4 years, then you can go out and work for another company, getting your own certificate, become your own boss. There's quite a few options you can do.
Own your future and learn more about the Trades Academy at hcoe.org.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Time. It's 8:35. We're back talking shop this morning with Humboldt County DA Maggie Fleming. Talk shop presented by CDH Painting, Redeck, Humboldt Termite Pest Control, Baywood Golf and Country Club, and Murphy's Markets. Maggie, in considering some of the different things that are going on out there, we hear different stories about this, either mayor, governor, district attorney, choosing to do this or that or not to do this or that. How much of a district attorney's office is, I guess, situational is the word that comes to mind, that you have autonomy to a certain extent?
Absolutely. You know, when you think about district attorneys are elected at the county level, and they serve that county. And the idea is that, you know, depending on whether it's a rural community or an urban community or what have you, there are sort of unique qualifications to how people perceive types of behavior. So I know when I first moved here, you know, driving on a suspended license, some of the judges would say, well, you know, the bus route doesn't go all the way to that guy's house and he's 18 and, you know, why don't you give him a break so he can use his license to drive to school? I mean, there were always, and of course you would do that, you know, but there were always sort of these scenarios. And the other one that I think of is guns, you know, because here we have a lot more people who hunt. And there are some crimes that if a person pleads guilty to it, misdemeanor crimes, they can lose their gun rights for 10 years. And the moment they uttered the words, oh, you know, but I go hunting every fall with my dad, the judge would look at me and say, well, is there something we could do so that this person can continue to hunt? And you know, you don't experience that in some parts of the state. And it's also, you know, something I've seen as far as the discretion we have pertains to, you know, on every level, not just whether or not charges are going to be filed, the seriousness of those charges, but then also the outcome, you know, because we can potentially change in some cases, in many it's out of our hands, but in some cases what someone's, you know, potential outcome going to be. So we try to really look at all the factors and then also to reach out. We had recently a HSU student who created some disturbance at school and there was some vandalism involved, but it appeared to be more of a sort of a mental health issue. And we reached out to the university and they said, absolutely, we want it handled at that level, you know, look at his mental health and then not proceed with any criminal charges. And so we were able to go that direction. And we try to do that, you know, because it's so important to really look at the whole situation, look at all the factors.
With things that folks are dealing with now, I mean, we talked about the road rage earlier, but frustration, confusion, I guess despair probably would be in there also a little bit. Is that starting to flavor how you look at the facts of things that are being presented to see if there are any of those types of pressures?
Well, in a way, yes. It's kind of interesting because in some respects, it's hard to explain, but in a way that's always been there. In the example that I was talking about earlier, like with the neighbor disputes, those people are just at the end of their rope. You know, they've had it with each other. And that's what we have to look at, because you think about if 12 jurors were sitting there listening to this, Would they feel that it was appropriately a criminal case, or would they be saying, why can't these two people figure out how to, you know, stop kicking in each other's fence or whatever it is? And so you always sort of have to look at it. But I do think as we move forward, we are going to have to evaluate more about the circumstances related to where we are in this point in time. What I'm worried about is all the people who are going to lose their jobs, because this is going to be a huge hit to the community. But that sort of level of, inability to take care of yourself, to provide for your family, it's going to cause problems, you know, not just economic type crimes, but I'm worried about the emotional toll it's going to take on community members.
Sure. Yeah. Then there's that one sector that helps to rebuild and bring back to norm. But it's certainly, we're not the only ones in the state dealing with it. So do we get the attention, or does somebody else get the attention when it comes to the insurance companies and squaring that kind of stuff up? Do you guys have a staff psychologist?
We don't. We work really hard for grant funding to make sure we have a mental health clinician for our child abuse cases. You know, so when we do, when we bring the child in for the forensic interview, we try to always have a mental health person there, and they help the child. Sometimes they, you know, can provide services and support to the family who's brought the child in, and then on occasion, you know, when it's been a really, really disturbing interview, we've had that person assist, you know, both with the interviewer and the deputy DA and the investigator who are present, who are, you know, sort of going through the factual details. I did last year, Brian, bring in a psychologist to offer sort of a here's a way to try to help yourself cope and go through sort of that. So we did it. We broke it up into two sessions, morning and afternoon, and I had half the office, you know, go in the morning and then the other half in the afternoon. Unfortunately, some people had court all day and weren't able to participate. But just trying to find healthy ways to deal with what we're exposed to day in and day out, because it's pretty, it's a lot more than, you know, what people maybe would naturally want to be exposed to. And it's what we see all the time.
I would think gruesome could be a good word to use, whether it's just mental or physical.
Right. It's gruesome, but it's also sort of the lack of humanity that we see, how people treat each other, whether it be domestic violence or child abuse or, you know, some of the homicides are pretty shocking. So just trying to help people hopefully have long, healthy careers and learning more about how not to necessarily go home at night and, you know, expose your family to some of the things you don't ever want to say out loud. You know, how do you de-stress when you go home? And it's, you know, the same thing I've always thought about with the jurors. You sit through a 3-4 month trial that's just shockingly painful, but you can't talk to your family about it.
Yeah, that's why we have dogs and there's so many dog walks going on. KINS, yep. News and Information Time, it's 8:43.
The Redwood Region Economic Development Commission wants you to know that local economic development agencies, business resource organizations, financial institutions, and jurisdictions are working together to provide resources for the COVID-19 pandemic. For more information, go to northcoastsbdc.org or call the OES Business Hotline at 268-2527. 268-2527.
Good morning, everybody. It's 8:47. We're talking shop this morning with Maggie Fleming. Maggie, with some of the normal things that happen in a normal year, and I think I emphasize the normalcy on that, what is the holiday season look like for you guys? Are you going to be able to process through? Are you going to be able to give everybody a little bit of time off? Or if things kind of settle in, is that going to be the time to put the pedal to the metal, so to speak?
Brian, it's never the time to put the pedal to the metal because of the fact that it impacts so many other lives. So, you know, jurors. I can't tell you how many times I've been selecting a jury and we talk about this will go through the holidays and immediately half the panel between trying to get their kids home from college or going to grandma's house or whatever it is are unable to serve. And then the same issue for witnesses. So we, you know, we sort of have a little gap right between Thanksgiving and Christmas where if you can get a good 2 weeks in, you're golden. But if something's, you know, if it's a homicide or one of those other types of cases that might go 4 or 5 weeks, we can do it so long as we take a big break to accommodate our witnesses and our jurors. So we always try to, you know, keep the pressure on and keep it moving, but also being aware of the fact that we really impact a lot of people.
I know it's way too premature, but we heard the news story this morning about somebody lighting fireworks off yesterday. Does that kind of stuff really, does it get to you as a core issue like it does me? I mean, it just seems so goofy. Who would have thunk it?
Absolutely. It's just hard to imagine people would be doing that.
Yeah. Or those reveal things that started that one fire.
Stay on the air, Brian.
Yeah. No. That's. I think you came through pretty clearly.
We'll leave it at that.
Yeah. Head scratching opportunities are always abounding throughout Humboldt County on a daily basis. How's that for nice, huh? I can round my corners also.
Everybody try not to do any burning and, you know, everything.
Yeah, no wood stoves, no backyard burns, no slash burns. Right. Come on, let's keep it straight. All righty, Maggie. Hopefully we'll be able to get through all this stuff and maybe somewhat of a normal show next month. Thanks for coming by.
Right. Thank you, and happy birthday, Brian.
Thank you, lady. See everybody tomorrow.
Bye.